Hi there, this
Hello.
Is Tracy.
And this is Lizelle.
And we are here to talk about...
Peacocks.
A mask! Actually, we're not talking anything about masks, but I just saw it and I thought I'd throw it on. Because that's the way I roll. So, we really wanted to talk about the language that people use that keep them trapped. And we have made a video before about your words, but... why don't you start this one off?
Okay, sure. So, language is a very powerful thing. It's a word-based world. Everything, you know, we do is around wording and around words and communication. And even when we're reading or speaking, it's a word-driven world. The thing that people don't realize about words is that they can be very self-hypnotic, and they can also keep us stuck in situations that we don't want to be in. So words have this very powerful effect on us, and our everyday language and our inner dialogue that usually comes from up here can be very damaging to us, to us moving on, right? We can't move on because either the words that we are using or our inner dialogue is detrimental to us. In other words, there are words that are very emotive, or they make us feel less than what we are. They make us feel small. And this is something we have direct control over. We have control over the words that we choose. And it might even be an interesting exercise for you to notice over a day what kind of words you play over and over again, what kind of words you say. Let me give you an example. A simple one, really. You might come across somebody who has enrolled in a class of some description, and the first thing that they will say was, I'm not really good at art, or I'm dreadful at this, or I can't do that. That is a self-fulfilling prophecy. So it really is important that even though you've had evidence to the contrary, where you may not have been good at art in the past, you might be able to say, you know what, I'm going to give art a go. It has not been my strength before, but I'm going to give that a good old crack. So this is important for you to know that, you know, you control the way you use words and the way those words make you feel as well.
This is all true. And I can honestly say I am not good at exercising, and that is because I just don't like it. It hurts. But that being said, does not mean that I shouldn't try. And we're talking particularly about people that have been in some sort of relationship with a narcissist, be it a love relationship or a neighbor or somewhere where this person is in their proximity and they're trying to get themselves free. And so often victims, she hates that word, targets, hold themselves there by consistently saying, well, I was in a narcissist abuse relationship. I was, you know, it was terrible. It was horrible. And I think that is self-fulfilling. It, if you're recovering, if you are recovered, if you are learning, then you are not where you were yesterday. Today is today. Yesterday was yesterday. Yesterday you might have been a target. Today you are healing and thriving. You might not be thriving yet, but if you keep yourself in victim, you will not thrive. Or it will take you a lot longer because
I think your words
are holding it in your head.
Yeah, I think, Tracy, the other thing to sort of look at here as well is, and this happens for a lot of us, right? We often carry stories in our heads that have been put there by other people. So invariably, it usually starts with your parents. So as much as they may have been doing a very good job, they usually give you a certain amount of information about you that you then tend to pick up that ball and carry for the rest of your life. Now, this can also happen in a relationship with somebody that you have held dear, somebody that you have loved and whose opinion you value. The thing is, you really have to learn to value your own opinion and to distinguish between something that has been given to you and something that is genuinely True. So, you know, for example, you may have had somebody who said to you, oh, don't be so stupid. Oh, you couldn't possibly do that. Why would you do that? So in essence, all those words that are then delivered to you, and I'm just using a very vague example there, you then tend to say to yourself or take on as your truth. And it isn't your truth. So really it is your job to start to nurture yourself the way you would a small child. I often use this example with people as well, is if you really find it difficult to speak to yourself in a loving and nurturing way, imagine that you are a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old child, and start to think about the way you would speak to that child. You wouldn't speak to that child in a dismissive, well, some people do, I know, but you would generally not choose to speak to a child in a dismissive or harsh or unkind way. You would seek to bolster them, you would seek to build them up, you would seek to make them feel loved and nurtured. And so if you can imagine yourself as that sort of child, as that tiny little child that you need to nurture, and this takes practice, folks. This is not from one day to the next you're going to get this right. Stop. Acknowledge your thoughts. Acknowledge the things that you are saying to yourself. Don't judge them, but find a better way to say them, and say them with love and kindness and caring and to yourself. Absolutely.
Yeah. I can, as you were talking, I could think of an example that I did on Saturday night when we were out and we met a lovely couple, and the woman was a photographer, and it didn't hit me until she was talking just now, but I have a business card with my picture on it, and every time I hand it out and someone says I look beautiful in it, I say, yeah, my own father doesn't think I'm pretty, and he said, who is that? And yet that's something I keep saying. So if this woman is looking at my card and saying I'm beautiful, why didn't I take that?
Say,
I sat there and went, whoa, but wait, but my own father says it doesn't look like me. I'm sabotaging myself and showing my own self-doubt. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. It's taken me many years to accept compliments as well, because often when you're given a compliment, your inner dialogue's going, oh, they don't know me that well. Oh, I don't think so. Oh, what do they know? And you sort of dismiss it. You don't say thank you and take it on. So what makes it so difficult for us to accept wonderful compliments, but yet makes it so easy for us to accept negative talk about ourselves?
If we think about it, so many people, we get compliments on a regular basis, whether it was, just a simple thank you from someone or a compliment on your outfit. We get those all the time, and they just fly over our head, right? They're just there, and we go, thanks, but someone says something that criticizes you. Somebody says something that you hold on to. Let that one fly away.
Yeah.
We have to stop holding on to the bad things.
Yeah, and again, this takes practice. So what I would suggest is, on an everyday basis, is start switching it around. If you encounter somebody that you genuinely have a genuine compliment for, not a gushy thing, not a, oh, I have to say something, but if something stands out to you and you would love to compliment somebody on it, do that. Do it with authenticity and watch their reaction. And then, so you keep doing that. And then when that is turned on you and you receive the compliment, stop, say thank you very much, and try to absorb that as you would a negative one, because really it's up to you to choose what little dialogue is playing here in your head and in your thoughts. You have tapes. I can guarantee you are playing many old tapes that no longer serve you. So those old tapes need to be just put aside, or that radio station that you hear playing all the time with negative commentary on you, you have the power to turn the dial down on that. Do that. Turn it down, even if you can't get rid of it right away. Choose to not listen to it. And there's no judgment in that. Just go, oh, I see what's happening there. Right. And I'm going to focus on something else right now.
Right. Focus on that positive photographer telling me I looked beautiful. Yeah. Hold on to that instead of dredging something up. And this is a lot of things that have happened in my past that I can associate with the same bad tapes, recordings, if you will, that have happened along my life that disempowered me. And we have to look at what empowers us and hold on to that. and screw the rest.
Absolutely.
So eloquent. This is Tracy.
And this is Lizelle.
Thank you for watching. And if you would like to, subscribe below or above. Where is that? I don't know. Do you see it?
Maybe there.
Awesome. Subscribe. Peace out.
See ya.
That's all we got. Thank you.
Bye.